Greetings, everyone, from Fort Bragg Grace Community Church. We're so delighted to be able to come into your living rooms from our facility here in Fort Bragg, California. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Today is Palm Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day when they rolled out the red carpet. They sang Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In Hebrew, Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai. We are reading today from Psalms 118. This is believed by many rabbinic scholars to be the hymn that Jesus spoke and read on the day of the upper room Passover Seder, where he lifted the third cup and made a new covenant with Israel and the ends of the earth. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. You repeat after me. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron, who was the high priest under Moses, now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is at my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, shall I see my desire on those who hate me. And the center book, verse in the Bible, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but through the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This would be a good declaration for this current crisis. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. The Lord entered in through the eastern gate on the triumphal entry of Jesus on Palm Sunday, which we're celebrating today. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, Lord, for you have answered me and become my salvation. And this one is quoted by Jesus, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We look forward to the day when the Jews and Israel will all say, Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. Hosanna, I pray. O Lord. O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There it is, quoted in Matthew 23:39. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Great God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Jesus, as he ascended up to Jerusalem through the eastern gate, was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and was about to be bound and offered as the sacrifice on the altar of the cross, which is behind me. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Marilyn Escher is a missionary to Senegal, West Africa. She's been working on a 50-year project to translate the Bible into the Wolof language. She's almost complete. We're expecting a publication in 2022 in the summer, so we're excited about that. She's going to now share how this church has partnered with her in Senegal, West Africa, to see God's kingdom come and his will be done. So Marilyn, would you come now and just talk with us?
Thank you, Greg. I want to give good news that all around the world, God is revealing to people, to Muslims, that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that they need a Savior. Through his Holy Spirit, he's convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And while it says in the Quran that Jesus did not die, Muslims around the world are realizing through God's word that the reason Jesus came was to die, that this is what the prophets prophesied. Noah with the ark of salvation, Abraham with the ram that was given in his son's place, David speaking of the resurrection, Isaiah speaking of Christ, the Messiah's death on the cross. And you have had a part in getting out this message to the Muslim people. There are 18 million people in Senegal, West Africa, and 95% of them are Muslim. And we're so excited to be on the home stretch now to get the Word of God, the Torah, the Tauret, the Sabor, the Psalms, and the Injil, the Gospels, just about ready to publish, although we're not waiting to publish them until 2022. We're getting them up on the internet so that people can access them on their smartphones. So everything that's been approved for publication is up there. And I want to thank the people, the church family of Grace Community Church, for your part in investing in getting out the Word of God to Senegal and to Wolof people around the world. About a decade ago, you gave some funds to Hosanna Ministries, now called Faith Cometh by Hearing. And just this very week, I'm in touch with their global coordinator for Africa to draw up an agreement to put what has already been recorded of the Wolof scriptures and also what is out there in text form up on their website, Bible.is. And then some time ago, you also, well, right now, you every year, you have been involved in getting together Operation Christmas Child boxes. And once my car was stolen, and I heard a knock on the door, and they had gotten the thief. It was the mother of the thief who was at my door, and she was asking me to forgive him before the judge. And I told her, I can forgive him because I had a debt I couldn't pay. And Jesus the Messiah paid that debt for me. She wanted the thief's wife to hear it, and so she brought her, and I was able to tell her, and then we got 200 Operation Christmas Child boxes. And I told our pastor, I said, I want the thief's children to get one of these boxes. And he said, oh, I think we can do better than that. He went to the warden of the prison where he had been having Bible studies and told the prison about the prison warden about these boxes. The warden got so excited, he rented the cultural center in town. He invited the governor, the prefect, and the mayor, and he got the names of all the prisoners' children and the prison guards' children, and threw a big party. And he wanted somebody from the Baptist mission to say something, as well as the mayor and the prefect and the governor. And I volunteered. I said, I'll say something. And so when it was my turn to speak, I told the group, probably 200 people sitting there, families of the prisoners, and the prison guards. And I told them, my car was stolen, and I want to thank the governor and the prefect and the mayor and the security forces for finding my car, and I want to tell you what I told the thief in the police station, and what I told his mother and his wife. And I was able to tell them about Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, coming to die, to bear our punishment for our offenses against God. And they listened. And it was your boxes, like your Christmas child boxes, that gave us that opportunity to share the good news about Jesus the Messiah, Yesu Almasi. Thank you so much for your part.
Thank you, Marilyn. That was Marilyn Escher, who is supported by World Venture and various churches throughout the world. She was trained by Wycliffe. She's on a 50-year translation approach to translating the Bible into the Wolof language, 4 to 5 million. The Wolofs came over in the slave trips, trading vessels, and they brought their culture to America. A lot of the words that we use come from the Wolof language, like jam, a musical jam, or when you call a police officer a fuzz, that's from the Wolof language. Right now we're going to hear from an elder of our church. He's our treasurer, our facilities manager, Blaine Pearl. And Blaine Pearl is got his feet on the ground. He is caring for the neediest of our community. That's third tier, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, those that are challenged. Would you welcome Blaine Pearl from Fort Bragg, California? Blaine and his wife are our treasurer.
Well, good morning. It's a privilege to be here in an empty God's house, because this is a building, but that isn't what makes a church. Praise the Lord for that. So I'm going to start off with, I'm sure there'll be questions as to why I'm at the church, why I'm not doing home in shelter like we're told to do. But as some of you might know and some of you that don't know, I am a caregiver. I am a manager of houses. And one of my jobs is to make sure that my clients are kept as secure as possible from this virus that's going around. Not only that, I'm also responsible for the workers that are there. And I'll tell you, I have a great team. I'm very blessed with them, because there's a lot of things. People say I overkill, but hey, we have a disinfectant station outside of the house. Before anything comes into the house, we disinfect it all. So why am I here today? Because I'm pretty much disinfected everything I touched and walked around already this morning. So I'm fully prepared for this. I have other people I got to go take care of. I could just choose to stay home and say, oh well, I'll take care of myself, but that's not my nature. The other thing is, I have a great wife who supports me, because that's major. She's the one that waits for me at home with dinner ready when I finally get home, and she is wonderful. So this is a privilege to speak. One of the things I pulled out of the list that's been really interesting and joyous is I'm able to watch my other pastor who used to be here. So, you know, my attitude is there's always sunshine. No matter how dark it is, there's always sunshine to be found. You just have to be willing to look for it. So I'm not really sure as to, as I'm trying to think, what am I going to speak? How much time do I have? Because I could be really long-winded, as I've been told. So this is one of the things that kind of came up with me was, you know, we hear everybody complaining about everything in life, day after day, and then this happens, you know. So these are some of the things that were kind of ran through my mind was, what if God couldn't take time to bless us today because we couldn't take the time to thank Him yesterday? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow Him today? What if we never saw a flower again bloom because we complained about the rain? You know, I was kind of that way because when my weekend came, I thought, I got all this work to do outside, and it rained. Every one of these weeks that I've had this extra extended time to be able to work in my house and it rained, I caught myself grumbling, going, why can't it rain while I'm working and clear when I'm home? But you know what? God answered that question. It's time to spend His time to focus on Him. So what if God didn't walk with us today because He failed to recognize it is His day? You know, Sundays, I'm guilty of that too sometimes. I'm burned out, I'm tired, and I just go, you know what, I'm going to take a day out on my own. Well, I had Saturday, did I take it out then? I had Friday, did I take it out then? No. But then I pick His day, and I take it out then. Guilty? Yes. Yeah. So, and here's one that I think we can really relate to. What if God took away the Bible tomorrow because we would not read it today? Think about that for a moment. How many of you walked in the store to go get toilet paper and there's no toilet paper on the shelf? What if the Bible, which happens in different countries, they are not allowed to have it? So if you don't have the Word of God hidden in your heart, memorized, you wouldn't have that book in which has every instruction in the world for us to follow. Anything that comes up in our daily lives is in that book. Show me another book that has all those instructions. I've never seen one yet. So what if God takes away His message because we fail to listen to the messenger? Now that one, I can expand a whole lot on, because I feel a lot of times churchgoers listen to their pastor and then church is over and they go, okay, so what game's on? You know, what are we barbecuing that's been cooking while we're here? And instead of going out and saying, you know, how are we going to implement this that He talked about today in our lives this coming week? You know, one of the privileges I have to say, and one of the places that put me here, where I am today, first of all, I was a very shy kid. I would run away when my mom would do birthday parties for me. I literally would run away. I didn't like to be put in front. And then as years went on, same thing. All the church kids wanted to come over and hang with me. Didn't know why. They had the same thing I had, so that just drove me up the wall. Why do they want to hang with me? You know, and over the years, the pastors, I have to say, first of all, because of God being in my life is the first major. Second major is the pastors in my life. Because the first pastor I was under as a kid growing up was Pastor Biggs and Vi. And they could have treated my parents the same as some other pastor got treated because of their kids. Because we were out throwing water balloons at a car one night, and one of the kids happened to be driving a car that was our youth, part of our youth group, got out of the car, said, hey, that's not good to do. I'm going to call the police if you guys don't stop. Well, one of the kids in the group got up and threw another water balloon at him. And so let's say the police were called. And I grew up on the corner of Simpson Lake Mitchell Creek out there. And I knew that area like back of my hands. And the pastor's son, which had five boys, the one that was my age, you could tell the police cars back then because of the clearance lights and the headlights. They just had that look. And when it came around the corner down the road, I went, that's the police. And I said, I grabbed Doug Biggs, which is my age. I grabbed him by the shirt and I go, come on. We ran across the street, down the dirt road, down the trail, and we hid there. And we heard the police out there gathering all the other kids up. And then I hear all these cars coming into my driveway, knocking on the door, each of the parents picking their kids up. He's like, what are we going to do? And I says, I don't know. His mom and dad lived down the road from us, so they were in our neighborhood. So after everybody cleared, we left. We ran down the road, went to this cabin. It was a summer cabin, and we hid out there for a while. And about 12 midnight, parents were walking through the neighborhood, through the brush, calling our names. I finally looked at Doug, and I said, well, Doug, I think we're going to have to turn ourselves in because it's getting cold, and we've got to eat. So we turned ourselves in, and of course, we got disciplined, and Mom, I think, kind of grinned because she knew how ornery I was anyway. So, but again, my pastor didn't throw us out. You know, he loved us anyway. And we grew up to be great kids. And second pastor I had was Arlen, which was great to watch his sermon now, watch him speak from home. With all this going on, who'd know that we would have ever done that if it wasn't for this virus? So praise the Lord for it, for that. But he, you know, one of the questions is, what if the doors of the church was closed because we didn't open the door of our hearts? You know, praise the Lord, the church door was open. Because I spent 15 years doing my own thing and wasted 15 years that I could have been serving the Lord. And when I came back to church, the topic Arlen was preaching that day was, can you lose your salvation? Now, I used to wake up in the middle of the night cold sweat. And I know it was the Lord knocking on my door, calling me back. And then one day those cold sweats quit. And then I was really scared, and that was my question. So I come back to church. This is the sermon that Arlen was preaching that day. And he got up right to the point, giving the answer, and he stops because he had a knack for this. He goes, we'll continue this next week. And I'm like, what? I'm going, but I need to know now. I mean, you know, did I mess everything up royal, you know? So I come back next week, found out the answer to it. And from that point on, I've been back in church. And, of course, Arlen was one of those that talked you in because he loves doing Easter plays, things like that. And got in there, and I remember when we were doing the Easter play, it was Pam and I. Pam Salyards, who was my wife, and I was her husband, and I was a disgruntled guy that didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. And I played the part so well, Arlen came up and said, need to tone it down a little bit, you're starting to scare me. You know, and I was like, okay. So, but, you know, it wasn't for him being there, wasn't there for the church being open at the time. Who knows where it would be today? You know, and I think about how many people. The blessing is with this being online. When the first time we watched this, I actually saw somebody post from Napa liking it. And the question is, there's a lot of people out there that does not want to come to church because of all the stuff that took place. And believe me, I'm one that's, I could preach on that all day long, you know. Our churches are their worst enemies because they don't follow what's in the book, what Jesus has given us, which is love one another unconditionally. There is no place in the book that we are to judge anyone. So we need to follow that. We need to practice that. And that may be something we need to concentrate on now while we're waiting for this virus to end and we can get back. Then we can start taking what we learned and what God has shown us and strengthened us and start utilizing it, because I believe that when this virus is over, we're going to have a lot more to deal with than worrying about if we're going to get the virus or not. So what if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? That's a biggie too. I mean, our pastor, Greg here, out of all the pastors, he's totally been the most different pastor I've ever been under. But at the same time, he has things that are so incredible. And he's been through so much because he constantly gets criticized about everything he does. And I have to just grin because I'm like, but he's doing what God said in the Bible. Go to all ends of the earth. The sister does it. You know, go to all ends of this town. Help everybody. And he does exactly what the Bible says. And people are like going, you know, I don't know. And, you know, one of the stories of the Bible I just laugh and think about is when Jesus went to the woman at the well. You know, and I just get this picture of the disciples. They're all in their robes. They're all gathered. And they're all following kind of like, Forrest Gump on the roadway, you know. And they're all behind him. And Jesus goes over and sits in the well side by the lady. And I'm sure one of the disciples probably went to a local, who is that? He says, oh, she's a whore, she's terrible. And they're like, oh. And I'm sure one of them are going, Jesus, hey. You know, they're going, oh, he's going to get a bad reputation. He's over there hanging with her, you know. I can just almost see this, you know. But Jesus is doing what he's supposed to do, you know. And it's like today, what today is, you know. He's riding in on a donkey. He's being blessed. He's being people laying stuff down. But in the end results was he gets hung on a cross to his death. But the joy is what the ending results of that is. So praise the Lord for that. He knew ahead of time this was happening. So praise the Lord. What if God answered our prayers the way that we answer his call to service? Think about that. You know, there's so much to be done in this world, so much to be done in this town. And instead, we spend more time watching the internet doing things when we should be really doing God's work. And I'm guilty of it. I do that, I go home, and I just crash. I'm tired, but you know what? Our pastor is a perfect example. Because he goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And yes, he has something else going too. But the point is, you can see the Holy Spirit working through him, making him go. Because he's full of it. He's full of energy he's getting from him. And he knows what he's doing is of God. And those are the things that carried me through life. For every incident that I had to deal with, was I knew God was in control. You know, I look back, and hindsight, of course, is great. And I just have to laugh because God, you know, you look back, you see how God's hand is there. But at the time when you're going through the stuff, and one of the people I think of is Rich and Daphne. Major, major stress. I understand. I pray for you guys all the time. But you know what? God's in control. God is in control. And what you guys are doing, helping others, God's going to bless you guys for that. So thank you guys for being followers of God. But you know, as I look, the answers he's given me, the reasons he took me out of one job, put me into another job, you know, 20 years ago, I would have never thought I'd be caregiving. Never thought I'd be doing something like that. But you know, all that training started back when I was just a kid. And it was at home. And somebody in the house, the family, would get the flu. And they would get sick. And of course, with that, you know what comes. And my mom would go in there bravely to clean it up, and she goes running out the back door gagging, and I hear, Blaine, go clean it up, please. and I'd be the one to go in there and clean it up. So who knows? I was getting trained for all this stuff way back then, but you know, God knew. God knew. So what if God met our needs the way that we give Him our lives? We really need to give Him our lives 100%, not part of it. We need to support our pastor who is out there. Pastor Biggs and Vi, who have both passed away now. Vi was like an angel. She had this glow. It's like Val. She has this glow. And it's because it's his mate. It's his angel that God's given him to be able to support him in all these things. But at the same time, they're also capable of reeling us back in when we get a little too far out there. So praise the Lord for them. Because I, in my 15 years, I messed up, divorced, still dealing with that today, working on relationships with my son. I had no intentions of ever being with a woman again, but God saw otherwise, and that would be another whole story I can give another day. Like I said, I can continue to talk until tonight, but I don't know how much time we have. And I'm getting the take time out. But the one thing I want to do right now is I want to pray for all the firefighters, EMS, caregivers, nurses, doctors, all of them that are on the front lines taking care of the people that are sick. I want to pray for them all now just for protection. Dear Lord Jesus, we just come to you right now. We ask that you just be with each and every one of these people that are on the front lines taking care of the sick. I just pray for the scientists that are working on solutions of killing this virus, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you watch over these people, but not only them, but their families that are being put in jeopardy too, as well as because of the work that we do, that we don't contract it and bring it home. I even read where doctors don't even go home. They just sleep in a side room somewhere because they don't want to bring it back to their families, Lord. So be with them, watch over, protect them, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. And just let's shower everybody that we can shower by Facebook, by Twitter, by whatever, Instagram, all these things. Let's just shower the love of God on everybody, Lord. Be positive. Just love. We can love far away. We don't have to be in hugs. Hugs are nice. Miss those. Wait for that day. We can do that again. But watch over and protect all these people, the EMSs that goes. Just pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
That was Blaine Pearl, who is an elder in our church. Thank you for that tremendous history of how God is challenging us through this difficult time. We are just so glad to be with you on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry day when Jesus walks through the Eastern Gate as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We're going to hear right now from Elwood Trost. Elwood Trost is a plumber, and he's now retired, been serving the Lord's land as a mission servant. He's got a powerful testimony out of Psalms 118 and how God used one of those verses in this basis for the triumphal entry where we get Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Elwood's got a great testimony of what God has done.
Good morning. This took place in Casper, Wyoming. And my pastor asked me to go to the hospital to visit a man that was there. And so I went with him. And when we went into the room, Ab Large was there. He's a Native American. He was in a coma. His kidneys had shut down. And So my pastor, he used Psalm 118, verse 17, where it says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And but he used Abelard's name in there, and he says, Abelard shall not die but live and proclaim the name of the Lord. And, you know, nothing happened, so we left. Went back the next day, same thing. Abelard shall not die but live and proclaim the name of the Lord. Nothing happened. So we go back the third day. Abelard is out of his coma, healed, and he walks out of the hospital a couple days later. And so God sent his word and healed this man. And so he still heals today. And Jesus wants the people that have the virus right now, he wants them healed. And so we just proclaim in the name of Jesus that these that have virus right now will be healed in his name. In the name of Jesus, they shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen.
That is Psalms 118, verse 17. I encourage you to use that as a declaration to over those that you know that have the coronavirus. Speak God's word. The Lord said, I sent my word and I healed your disease. We have been meeting every day for the last 40 days at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. for an hour. Jesus said, could you not watch with me for an hour? And we have been making a prayer declaration at the close of each of our hours of prayer. And it is simply the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to do that together. And then we would quote from Isaiah chapter 43, where the Lord says, I will bring your sons and daughters from the north and the south. In another place, he says the east and the west. So we're going to turn to those four directions. N-E-W-S spells news, north, west, east, west, south. And then we're going to pray the Aaronic blessing, Aaron's blessing in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you. So, would you join us with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And we speak to the north, give up. We speak to the south, do not withhold. We speak to the east, give up. We speak to the west, do not withhold. Sons and daughters, the third tier of the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, the highways and the byways people, because God wants his house full. And we bless you now. Myrna Hernandez called us on one of our prayer times and said, we've got to do the Aaronic blessing, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. If you're here in Fort Bragg, at 11 o'clock to noon, we are doing a drive-up communion. And you can just pull in front of the church. I've got a copy of my Palm Sunday message here today, based on Psalms 118. The message is called When God Shut Down Church Through Jesus Christ. He did it twice, once at the beginning of his ministry, clearing out the temple, and once at the end, right after the triumphal entry, which we are celebrating today. We invite you to celebrate Palm Sunday. We brought the palm fronds, and we are celebrating. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's close with that great song, This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Psalms 118, verse 24. And let's say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save now, Hosanna, go. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless you and God keep you.